Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is risen! You want proof? I can't give it to you. But I can show you the evidence so that you can see for yourself. Christ is risen, alleluia, risen, our victorious head. Sing his praises, alleluia, Christ is risen from the dead. Swallow it. Believe it. It's reliable, it's irrefutable, it's trustworthy, it's true. There is never any book that has ever been written that is more reliable and trustworthy, that has more validation and evidence than Scripture. Tonight you'll get a chance to review with St. Paul in that resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You're going to hear what Paul preached to the Corinthians. You're going to hear it again. You're going to be reminded of it. St. Paul, it was his second missionary journey, about 50 A.D., less than 20 years after Jesus was crucified and rose and ascended into heaven. And he established a congregation in Corinth, of all places, because of the gospel. And then about 5 years later, he's writing a letter to them. And 1 Corinthians 15 is all about the resurrection. And you can't understand anything that Paul says to the Corinthians unless you put the glasses on and read everything in 1 Corinthians through the lens of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. If Christ has not been raised, then everything is a huge April Fool's joke. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes. He'll show it to you. Want proof? I can't give it to you. But I will present the evidence. In the first century, there were people who were followers of Jesus who had a strange practice. They went to graveyards, they went to cemeteries, and they took a laurel wreath and they placed it on the graves. Now, the Romans would ask, why are you doing this? You see, the Romans and the Greeks, they loved their athletic games. And somebody who won got the victory, and they got a laurel wreath. And so the Christians would say, we're putting the laurel wreath on the graves because we believe that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have the victory. In Christ, the victory is ours. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Christ is risen indeed. This is why we gather, to worship our Lord and our Savior, the resurrected one, the crucified one, for the forgiveness of our sins. St. Paul says in chapter 15, he says, now I would remind you, did you catch that? Isn't that a great way to start a sermon? Now I would remind you, because sometimes we forget, right? I mean, maybe you're different from me, but I need a reminder. Maybe a string around my finger, maybe a post-it note, maybe something on my planner or my calendar, or I might say, honey, don't let me forget. You need to remind me, right? We've done that. Paul says, now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel. The gospel that I preached to you, that you received, that you are standing in, the gospel by which you are being saved. Unless you give it up, forsake it, and all your belief is in vain. You see what Paul is doing? He said, 5 years ago, I was preaching to you for a year and a half the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you want to know, you say, well, what do you mean by the gospel, Paul? Well, in the New Testament, evangelion, gospel, is always in the singular. In the first century, everybody else used it in the plural. There's not many gospels. There is just one. And Paul says, you want to know what it is? I'll give it to you in elevator speech. I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. And here it is, that Jesus Christ died for the forgiveness of your sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried and on the third day rose in accordance with the Scriptures. Now, this is not make-believe. This is not let's make it up as we go along. If you look at the Old Testament, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for example, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? You know where that's from? Isaiah 25, verse 8. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. When Paul says to the Corinthians, when Paul speaks and preaches to us, this is not something that should have surprised you. God has been promising it. God has been proclaiming it like forever. And for people who say, well, you know that story of Jonah? I just can't swallow it. Well, Jesus believed it was true. And I'll tell you what. I may be stupid, but I'm going to believe in Jesus rather than you. Swallow it. Believe it. Christ is risen, alleluia, risen, our victorious head. Sing his praises, alleluia, Christ is risen from the dead. You believe it. Paul says, this is the gospel. I preached it to you. I'm not making it up as I go along. I'm not. Paul is not a revisionist. He's not. I mean, he's got to just think this is nuts with what a lot of churches nowadays are doing. That somehow we got to help Jesus and God out, and we got to kind of rewrite the Bible? That's crazy, my friends. Paul says, I delivered to you, did you catch it? What I first received as of first importance. You want to talk about priorities? We've all got them. Paul says, here's my number one priority. Number one, what I got, I give. And that's when he preaches the gospel, that Jesus Christ was crucified for the forgiveness of our sins, and that he was raised on the third day. And death was swallowed up in victory. Death doesn't have the last word for you. Jesus has the last word for you. And his word is yes. You are mine. Yes, I died for you. Yes, for the forgiveness of your sin. So swallow it. He appeared, he appeared, he appeared, he appeared. You want the evidence? Did you see what Paul is doing? I mean, this is beautiful. Read all of 1 Corinthians 15. Four times. You saw, I underlined it in your scripture, in your bulletin for tonight. Did you notice that? You thought, what is wrong with this guy? Why in the world does he go underlining, he appeared, he appeared, he appeared, he appeared? I mean, doesn't he think I can read myself? Four times in 11 verses. Do you see what Paul said? He said, everybody thinks this is a joke. This is no joke. The stakes are high and the consequences are eternal. Paul says, first, the resurrected one, first, he appeared to Cephas. That's the Aramaic name for Peter. First, he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 people at the same time, most of whom are still alive, 15, 20 years later, right? Most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Because death has been swallowed up. They can't die, right? They've just fallen asleep. Paul is saying, you got 500 people that saw Jesus at the same time. You think they were all hallucinating? And you don't want to believe me? Then go and check it out yourself. Talk to one of them. Multiple attestations, multiple eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, and then he appeared to James. Remember James, the half-brother of Jesus, who thought his brother was nuts? And who eventually got converted to the faith too and became a leader in the church, the Christian churches in Jerusalem, and to the apostles. And then he appeared, last of all, because I'm least of all. I'm unfit. I'm unworthy. I'm junk. I'm trash. I'm scuba, is what Paul will say. Why does Paul say that? Acts chapter 9. Actually, you can back it up a little bit before that. Paul is saying, you want evidence? I persecuted the church, the people of Jesus Christ, with a vengeance. He was standing there when Stephen, the first martyr of the church, was stoned to death. He held the garments of the people. And then he gave approval and said, do it. You're not done yet. A few more. He was in charge. And in Acts chapter 9, he's breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And on his way to Damascus so that he can get some more of those Christians and lock them up and have them put to death. You know what happened. He was blinded by the light. He was brought down to his knees in repentance. A voice came and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he cried out, who are you? Who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He got his eyesight back. And with the commission and the call and the conversion came a promise. I will show him how much he will suffer for my name. Paul says, you want evidence? Last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me. I saw the resurrected one. The persecutor became a proclaimer of the gospel. I'm unfit. I'm unworthy. But by the grace of God, did you hear that? By the grace of God, I am what I am. And God's grace to me is not in vain. May we all say that. God's grace to me is not in vain. In fact, oh, this is beautiful. Did you catch this when it was read? Paul says, in fact, I worked harder than all the rest. And then did you see what he does? The Holy Spirit just catches them right in mid-sentence. Though it was not I, but the grace of God within me. So then, who cares? What's the bottom line? Somebody's got to preach. And I don't care if you preach or you preach or you preach or you preach. Doesn't matter who does the preaching. But they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. And guess what happened? You believe. You got saved. And that's the bottom line. The stakes are high. The consequences are eternal. There was a little boy who went to visit an art gallery, and he saw a man, an elderly gentleman. He's standing there. He's looking at this one big picture. And he says to the boy, about 8-9 years old, do you know what that picture is about? And the boy, about 8-9 years old, he looks at this stranger, this elderly man, and he says, don't you know? Really? Don't you know? That's Jesus up on that cross. That's his mother right there, the one that's crying and weeping. And you see those military guys? Those are the Roman soldiers. They killed them. Don't you know? The elderly gentleman just kind of smiled, and he walked off. A few moments later, he hears somebody running at him. It's that 8-9-year-old boy. He's running at him. He gets there. He's out of breath. Mister, I forgot to tell you. He didn't stay dead. Jesus didn't stay dead. Want proof? I can't give it to you. But I can show you the evidence. And it's not an April Fool's joke. With all the reliability and the trustworthiness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a person would have to be an eternal fool not to believe the truth. And Jesus is the truth. And he's the way. And he's the life. Paul will go on in his argument and he will say, now, some of you are saying that there's no resurrection. I mean, he thinks it's nuts. He says, let's connect the dots, okay? Let's just connect the dots. If there's no resurrection, then Christ hasn't been raised. If Christ hasn't been raised, then you're still in your sin. If you're still in your sin, then you're going to die. And if you're going to die in your sin, that means you're going to perish. You're lost forever. And we are found to be lying. Jesus lied, and now we preachers are lying too. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Paul says, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who fall asleep. Death has lost its sting. It can't harm us anymore. Because Jesus has swallowed it up. Isaiah prophesied it, and Jesus performed it. He swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, your sins, so that you would be forgiven, so that you would have life everlasting. He did that for you. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look. Open your eyes. He'll show it to you. I read an Easter story. It took place a few years back. Jim Cimbala. Jim is a pastor out in New York. And he said that a number of years ago, he had preached several sermons, several Easter services. And at the end, he was grateful because people had come to saving faith in Jesus. And they had counselors there that were meeting with people whose hearts had been changed and turned by the gospel. And so he said, I'm sitting on the ledge of the balcony part. And he said, I've never been more tired and exhausted and spent in my life. And then he says, about in the third row, there's a guy who's sitting there looking at me. He's homeless. He said, out here, we get a lot of homeless people that come in asking for money and stuff. He said, I'm not proud of it, but I said to myself, Oh, Lord, please. I've had such a good day. I don't want to end my Easter Sunday with some wino who's just looking for some cash so that he can buy some more wine. What does this man, who appears to be about 50 years old, what does he do? He comes up to Jim, up to Pastor Jim. And Pastor Jim says, when he was about 5 feet from me, the stench was so raw I couldn't take it. This disheveled man, stinking, the smell, the aroma of like puke, you know, vomit, and urine. And the man comes, and the closer he gets, Pastor Jim says, every time I was going to talk to him and stuff, I had to look away so that I could take a gasp of air because it was overwhelming. And I looked at him and I said, so, how long have you been on the street? 6 years, he said. How old are you? 32, he said. I thought he looked like he was 50. Front teeth were missing. I mean, this guy was filthy. I said, where did you sleep last night? He said, abandoned truck out there. And then Pastor Jim said, I carried some cash and some credit cards in my money clip. And I reached back there because I thought, okay. Normally we didn't give cash to people, but he said, that I just needed to get rid of this guy so that I could go home and be with my family. He starts to pull the money out, and he's holding it there for the guy. And this guy, his name is David Ruffin. You can Google that, actually. In case you don't believe me, David, he looks at Pastor Jim and says, I don't want any money. I want the Jesus that you were telling us about. I want the Jesus that you were preaching about. I'm going to die on the streets. I don't have any hope at all. I need Jesus. And you know what Pastor Jim did? He said, I started to cry. He said, I started to weep. Because I found myself saying, Lord, who am I? Here you bring someone to me at Easter? And I'm not even ready to share the gospel with him? He says, I started weeping, and pretty soon I'm weeping even louder. And here comes David, this homeless man who just reeks. And he puts his arms around me, my white shirt, my loosened tie. And he said, suddenly the stench smelled like the sweetest perfume I had ever smelled in my life. It was the aroma of Christ. And God said, if you want to be my pastor, if you want to preach my gospel, then you've got to know that this is why Jesus came into the world. This is what sin smells like. It stinks. And here these two men are weeping. David Ruffin came to faith in Jesus Christ on that Easter Sunday. And Pastor Jim said, we got him a place to live. We gave him a job at the church. He was doing some maintenance and stuff. We got his teeth fixed. We got him into the hospital, and in 6 days we got him detoxed. He said a year later, David was sharing his testimony with the church, coming to faith. And Pastor Jim said, I heard him and I looked at him, I thought, that's a preacher. That's a preacher. And on the following Easter, we ordained him. David Ruffin is a pastor in New Jersey. And he's preaching the gospel. Did you notice what happened in the gospel reading of Mark tonight? And they were afraid. And they said nothing to anyone? For what? When was the last time you ended a story with a preposition with the word for? We are God's chosen vessel for sharing the rest of the story. We who have been swallowed up with the love of Jesus. We who have had our sins and our death swallowed up through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We are the ones who get to preach the good news to others in daily life. No proof, just eyewitness evidence. The body of Christ, broken for you. The blood of Christ, shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Swallow it. Believe it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able. Our hymn of the day is